things happen in your life in a really strong, powerful, and positive way, and you can witness it for yourself.
Be amazed.
Something amazing happened to me yesterday. I've never done this ever.
Be inspired.
I don't know what made me do that.
It's the law.
You have some strong energy.
Talk to me, the Soul Series on Oprah and Friends.
You attracted me all the way across the room to come over and go, hi, my name is Oprah. Wow. Okay. So glad to be back on the air again with our Soul Series here on XM 156. Last week, we were talking to Michael Lozier, who wrote a book called The Law of Attraction. Seems to be a lot of laws of attraction going around. Michael's book is called The Law of Attraction, The Science of Attraction, More of What You Want and Less of What You Don't. So, Michael, welcome back.
I'm glad to be here again.
So here's what we were talking about last week, really applying what a lot of people are newly awakening to, this idea that life isn't happening willy-nilly, that things are not happening out of order, that all the words that we've used, like coincidence, serendipitous, there's some more, right?
That's right. Whenever we use the word coincidence and serendipity and synchronicity and fate and karma and luck and meant to be, we're really describing evidence of law of attraction. You know, it's funny about the word coincidence. People say, oh, there's no such thing. Well, if there wasn't, why would we need a word to describe it?
I don't know, Michael. Explain that to me.
I don't know. That's people not really understanding, but we're always using those words. And when we do, they say, wow, I was just thinking about you. What a coincidence. Well, that was law of attraction, matching the vibration that you were sending to that which you want gave attention to.
Last week, we were talking about in your book that your words generate a vibration that is either positive or negative. And when you use the words don't and not and no, you continue to give more attention, energy, and focus to what you're referring to. When you hear yourself saying don't and not and no, ask yourself, so what do I want? Because that's what you're really attracting anyway. When you go from what you don't want to what you do want, the words change. And when the words change, your vibration changes.
You are good.
Good, eh? You know why I'm good? Because I'm reading directly from page 49 of your book. That's why I'm so good. But you know, everybody's talking about The Secret now, and I heard that they'd asked you to be a part of it, and you said no. Do you regret it now that it's such a big hit?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, at the time that it wasn't a match for me, I knew that it wasn't a match because of my vibration. And then when it came out, I thought, oh, I have missed the boat. And then I watched about a half hour of it, months after it came out, and I sat back and said, there is a place for me in all of this message, because I'm the how-to guy. I'm the guy that teaches people how to apply it. And,
yeah.
You know, even at my, I did a seminar last night for 600 people, and I said, how many people watched The Secret? Almost everybody raised their hand. And some people said, I watched it 200 times. And I thought, 200 times? Well, my promise is you're going to get to know how to use it at the end of this seminar. You'll leave here tonight knowing what it is, how it works, and the tools to start applying it. And I've been receiving flood of emails the day after.
What are they saying? What are people saying?
Particularly around that they understand about the words that they use and the whole thing about, oh, I have to give it attention. I thought I only had to make a list and I tucked it in my sock drawer. And I'm thinking, law of attraction is not looking in your sock drawer for your vibration. It's checking your physical presence.
Well, that's why I think part of The Secret, you know, it's gotten a lot of people who are excited about it. And obviously, whenever you start to offer change or a new way of thinking about things, people also find ways to criticize. And I think that part of the reason why I do understand the criticism is because when you try to allow this law, when there are many laws in the universe, to be the answer to all questions on Earth, it is not the answer to all things on Earth.
Yes.
You agree with that?
I do. Well, I tell you, I've taught this message to Catholics and Protestants and Mormons and Jewish people and atheists and spiritual people. Everybody can find themselves in the message.
That's right, because it's not a religious message. For me, this way of thinking and understanding the laws, the way the universe operates, has really only enhanced my ideas about my religion. Let's talk about how, because as you probably have heard or seen over the years, I've struggled with weight for years. And I saw a picture of you a few years back and looked like you were struggling too.
I was attracting lots of food to my life, as you can tell.
How were you doing that?
I was big my whole life. I was over 300 pounds. And I remember every time that I said I wanted to lose weight, I even remember having an affirmation, which is in my book. And it's not pretty, but just picture it for a moment. Me standing in front of my bathroom mirror, 320 pounds, with boxer shorts on, reading my affirmation that said, I have a happy, slender body. Well, you know, in the affirmation world, that's an awesome affirmation. But here's what happens. What might I tell myself when I say that, when I can't even see my feet? It's like, well, no, you don't.
Yeah, I've done that. And then I looked on my backside and went, oh, Lord.
It's not pretty.
Not pretty.
So here's what happens is that even though it's a positive sentence, it's not true for me. And as I'm saying it, our little voice says, well, that's not true. So I start the negative spiral. And one negative thought finds another one. And those two find another one. Before you know it, I'm spinning down this negative cycle and I'm running to the kitchen to put peanut butter on an onion.
Yeah.
Looking for something to eat. So I'm thinking, that's so ironic. I thought these affirmations were supposed to help me get what I wanted.
That's what I really, really, really liked about your book. Because, you know, for years I thought about saying affirmations and I couldn't even get them out of my consciousness because I thought, well, I don't believe that. So what am I saying that for? And I know that if I said it 400 times, I'm still not going to believe it. And what you say in your book is that you have to change what you're saying because the reason why the affirmation doesn't work for you is because you know that it's not true.
That's
and
right.
That your lie that you're telling to yourself creates its own vibration that ends up creating the opposite of what you think you want.
That's right. Because the words and the affirmation aren't congruent with the feeling. So I'm saying something that has positive words, but I'm offering a negative vibration.
What you're saying is the feeling is what creates the vibration, and the feeling is what attracts what you want for real. It's about
that's
the
right.
feeling. So you can say the words all day long. And that's why I was saying that one of the things that might be misleading about The Secret, you see a person put a check on a ceiling and look at this and say, every day I'm going to have $100,000, I'm going to have $100,000. I want to say, if you don't get your butt off the bed and do something, that $100,000 isn't coming to you. And just saying the words means nothing if the feeling isn't there. Because if you really do have the feeling, you will then be motivated to take action to do what is necessary to get the $100,000.
That's right. Well, it's interesting. In the last 2 years, I've lost 60 pounds. And what happened is that I shifted my vibration and I stopped saying I have a happy, slender body. And in my book, here's a sentence that I give people. And it says, I'm in the process of attracting whatever I need to do or know or have to have a happier, slender body. And then the affirmation police are coming at me and they're saying, you're not supposed to say that you're in the process. You're supposed to say it as if you have it. And I say, if I say as if I have it and I don't, I'm not telling myself the truth and I'm sending a negative vibration. So again, I'm in the process of attracting whatever I need to do, know, or have. And right now, as soon as I tell you about it, I just set the energy in motion. So it is in process, and that the sentence becomes true.
I'm telling you, that's how I did that with The Color Purple. I tell you, I would stop strangers to talk about it, and I'd be so excited and so happy just to be able to tell them about the book. And then if they didn't read it, I'd be disappointed, and then I'd tell them anyway why they should have read it. Just so much positive energy going to the very idea of The Color Purple. That's how I attracted it to myself.
Well, you know, my hunch is the shift that happened for you, because I heard you say you were releasing it and you were no longer fighting it. In other words, you removed the doubt. And here's what's really important in the whole process of Law of Attraction. Doubt is a negative vibration, and it cancels out or dilutes the desire of the positive vibration. So on one hand, I say, oh, I want to make lots of money, and that's a strong positive vibration. And that little voice says, well, you can't have lots of money. You never had it before. So that negative vibration of my doubt has just canceled out the positive vibration of my desire.
Yeah.
So the net effect of the manifestation is zero.
Okay, so the most important thing anybody can get from listening to this, and I would really strongly advise you that if you're interested in the Law of Attraction and interested in any way in creating a more positive life for yourself, Michael Lozier's book, Law of Attraction, and there's several of them out there, different books on Law of Attraction. So Lozier, L-O-S-I-E-R, is a practical guide so that you begin to see for yourself how you end up in negative situations and you don't know how you got there. Mm-hmm. And once you understand it, you can absolutely backtrack and say, oh, I know how this happened.
Yeah.
And so this is what I realized, Michael, in reading your book, that in all the years I've struggled with my weight, anybody listening who's overweight, you know what this is like. You get on the scale. You get on the scale because you say, okay, today, yeah, I'm going to start my new program. Yes, I am Bob Green. I'm going to start my new program. And then you get on the scale and there's a number looking at you. There it is, 172 or 214 or whatever the number is. And the number is a number that makes you feel badly about yourself. And somehow what happens is you end up eating your way through the day. You don't do the opposite. And this is what I realize. Getting on the scale is focusing on weight. And the more you focus on weight, the more weight you will have. So when you turn that around and you begin to focus on how do I become more healthy, I see myself moving freely in a healthy body. I see myself being agile. I see myself exercising. I see myself enjoying exercise and hoping my nose doesn't grow when I say that. I see myself breathing, that it changes this whole struggle and gets the focus off of weight to the focus being something about your health.
That's right.
Is that how you lost 60 pounds?
Well, my weight loss is really caused because I had a belief, and it's a limiting belief. And what I mean by limiting belief, it means it was limiting me, right? So I had a belief.
Right.
And here's my belief. My belief was that I'll always be big because all the men in my family are big. So as I'm thinking to myself, hey, I want to have a happy, slender body, a little voice says, well, you can't because all the men in your family are big. So you see how that belief had a negative vibration that was canceling out my positive vibration of my desire. So I had to change my belief.
Oh, my God. I think we're from the same family. We're from the same family. Hello, Brother Michael. My father had said to me, I was remember standing in the bathroom, and I'd just gotten off the scale, and my father, I was 13 years old, and I was pretty slim then. And my father said, well, you may as well just get on off that scale because you're going to be big. You're going to be big. Mm-hmm. Have you seen all the women in your family? Look at your mother. Your mother's big. I saw her sister. Her sister's big. Her grandmother, everybody on that side of the family, all those women are big. He goes, I had my Oldsmobile parked out there, and I was taking them somewhere, and three of them got in the back seat, and I couldn't pull off because they're so big. So I'm telling you, that thing stuck with me. I've run marathons. I've written a book with Bob Green. But that belief that you're going to be big, don't know what you do, you're going to be big, my Oldsmobile can't even take off. So we came from the same family. My father said the same thing to me.
Yeah. Well,
How did you change the belief, though?
Okay, very good. Well, I had two beliefs. One belief was that all the men in my family were big. Here's my other belief, is that my mother, bless her heart, never liked to have leftovers. Well, that's not really helpful if you're trying to lose weight. So
no.
I had a belief that leftovers weren't cool. So I didn't have any at my house. So I had these long beliefs. And you know what a belief is? A belief is just a thought that you think over and over and over and over and over again. And before you know it, that thought that you repetitively thought over again has now become a belief.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way that we can change a belief, and it's through the art of this question. And I'll give you the question. The question is, is there anyone on the planet, and this would be catered to my belief, that all men in
your family
will
be big? Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the question. Are there any men on the planet that have a different body size than their brothers? And the answer is yes. And the next question is, how many? There are millions.
Okay.
There are millions of men on the planet that have a different body size than their brother. And I thought that over and over and over and over again. And now when my little voice says, well, you can't be small because your dad's big, a little voice says, whew, that's not a belief. You see how I talked myself into something different?
Yeah. And so you had to do that over a period of years?
No, not really. It shifted right away. And then once I got rid of that negative block, then I started to attract. I mean, I've attracted, in just the last 2 years, I've attracted a trainer. I've attracted a daily runner at 5:30 in the morning. I attracted a personal chef. I attracted a colon hydrotherapist. I did not know they existed, but I have one of those. I mean, opportunities and information was coming. I turned on the TV. There'd be something talking about almonds. And I thought, I didn't know that information existed. In other words, once I opened up my receiving valves, once I allowed myself to receive stuff, boy, I'm inundated with information that's in alignment to my desire.
What was the statement that you used to get yourself started?
Whatever your belief is, by the way, here's when you know you have a belief. Whenever you use the word because. And I would say, well, I can't lose weight because my dad's big. Or I can't have that because I didn't go to university. I can't have that because I'm a man.
That establishes that you have a belief.
That's
or is
right.
a big signal that you do.
That's right. So when people say, you know what, I really want to have this, and I put it out there, I made a macaroni collage, I told 10 people, I'd visualize, and it's not here yet, I really want it. And I say, well, you must have a belief that you can't have it. And they say, no, I don't. So I said, tell me your story. And they go, blah, 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 and they tell me the story. And they say, and because, and my ears perk up like a German shepherd when they say the word because I know right after it,
that's the
is
belief.
Their limiting belief.
The limiting belief. Oh,
so the question,
fabulous.
So the question is there anybody on the planet that has what you said you can't have? So in other words, for you would be, are there any women on the planet that have a different body size than their mothers? Well, the answer to that is yes. There are millions.
Yes, yes.
And now when you hear your voice say, well, I can't have it because my mother was big and my aunt was big, a little stronger voice comes in your head and says, well, there's millions of women on the planet that have a different body size than their brother.
Okay, let's talk about it this way. If you have a heart's desire, and you know, it's so interesting because, you know, I was raised in the church. My favorite Bible verse has always been Psalms 37:4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that's how I've explained so many things that I have, is because I've always delighted myself in the Lord, in that which is good, in that which is gracious, that which is kind, that which is loving, and not worried about how I was going to get it. And it just sort of comes, because delighting thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But many people are listening who perhaps don't believe in that Bible verse, are not strongly religious. And as we were saying on the previous show, that the law of attraction is working in your life, whether you believe it or not. It doesn't require your belief to be there, because it just is, because we are based upon our vibrational frequencies, drawing things in all the time. So for those people who are listening, how can we begin? What are three things we need to know to begin drawing things to us that are the best for us?
The first thing is to remove the doubt.
Okay.
Because if you have doubt, that's a negative vibration. And on one hand, you say you want it. The other hand, you doubt it.
Okay.
Now, just for a quick little example, if we think about people buying lottery tickets, boy, they have the desire to win the lottery, and they gave it attention, energy, and focus because they talked about all the things that they wanted. And if you can imagine the people buying lottery tickets with a little cartoon bubble above their heads, here's what they tell themselves about winning the lottery. I can't win that. Nobody in my family ever won. I've been wasting money every Wednesday. All of those thoughts have a negative vibration. So your negative vibration of not winning is canceled with positive vibration
of
winning.
Hey, let me stop you right there. Okay, so let's think that everybody here right now, under the sound of your voice, buys a lottery ticket. And everybody buys a lottery ticket now and says, well, I believe I'm going to win. And they have no doubt. They've erased the doubt, release it out there into yours. They all can't win.
Well, they all can't win. And if they're not winning, it means because they're not really allowing it. There's a belief system, so it might not be just doubt. They might have an underlying belief. They also might not have the need to attract that kind of money. The first thing you need to do is, you know, kind of set up that need. The universe loves to fill a void, so we need to create that.
Okay.
So the first piece is removing doubt.
Okay.
And there's a little key secret to removing doubt.
How?
Is to find proof. In other words, if we were watching a bunch of scientists, they would not believe anything you told them until they found proof, and they would say, okay, good, that proved it. So say, for example, that somebody wanted to talk to an ideal boyfriend or girlfriend, and they built their list of their ideal mate, and they gave it attention, energy, and focus, and they visualized and created and daydreamed, and then they noticed somebody flirting with them, and they said, hey, look at that. That person just flirted with me. Hey, I've lined up my energy so much that I've attracted somebody flirting. This law of attraction stuff really works. Now, it doesn't mean they attracted their full ideal mate, but what it's showing is that they've started to line up their energy to allow something, and they can celebrate that.
Okay, so doubt is one. Now moving on to two.
Remove doubt. The next one is to observe the way you want it to be. So in other words, if you want to attract an ideal mate, then observe other people that are in nice relationships. And as you're in your observation of their ideal relationship, now you're including that vibration in your own vibration. So just by observing something causes you to send the vibration. So that's why it's important to surround yourself with people that you like and people that you want to mentor, or television shows or music, because just by looking at it, you're sending the matching vibration.
That's right.
Law of attraction doesn't know if you're looking at it or remembering or pretending or worrying or daydreaming or creating.
Moved out, observe.
Okay. And the third one is to eliminate the words don't, not, and no from your vocabulary. And every time you catch yourself saying it, in that very moment, say, so what do I want? Because when you go from what you don't want to what you do want, the words change. And when the words change, the vibration changes.
Okay. Something amazing happened to me yesterday. Joshua, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Josh. Yesterday, I was shooting a new show called The Big Give that you're all going to see on ABC come this fall or sometime soon. And I had just come out of my trailer. Everybody had their own little trailers. Contestants did, and the judges did, and I did, and Nate did. And I was coming out of the trailer, and I was walking across this big room that we're all in, and I saw this guy, and I don't know why I did it, but I just walked up to him, and I put my arm around him. I put my arm around his shoulder, and the guy turned out to be Joshua. Joshua, what do you do? I didn't even know what you do.
I'm the lighting designer on your new show.
I was just walking around, and I had my hand around Joshua's shoulder just saying, hi, how you doing? He says, hi, fine, how are you doing? And so we walked a little ways. And what'd you say, Josh?
I want to show you some pictures.
Okay. Now, in the moment that he said that, I thought, oh, good, oh, no. I just was being nice to him for a minute, and next thing you know, we want to show me some pictures. Usually people want to show me some pictures and want to come to my house and make a deal or whatever. So I'm telling you, Josh, that's how I felt when you went, oh, good, oh, no. That's what I get for putting arm around this guy. So anyway.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So then I had to go shoot something, and then I saw Josh walking by. I said to Josh, don't know why I said this. I've never done this ever. I said, so Josh, where are the pictures? And he said, okay, I'll go get the pictures. And he went and got the pictures, and I was sitting there looking at his pictures, Michael. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the pictures, and they're pictures of these beautiful Cambodian children. And I was, I mean, just beautifully shot, beautifully photographed. And Joshua said to me, tell him what you said, Josh. You said, I can't believe that you're sitting here looking at these pictures because?
Because while I was shooting these, Oprah Winfrey would really like to see these pictures, and I would really like her to see them.
While he was shooting the pictures mm-hmm. in Cambodia, Joshua, who I never met in my life, is thinking, I really would want Oprah Winfrey to see these pictures. Now, I don't know why you were thinking it. I went, oh, my God, really? That is like, that is a law of attraction moment we're having here, Josh.
Mm-hmm. And but then it got better.
And then it got better. Go ahead, tell him, Josh.
Well, I'm on set, and I, of course, I'm working for Oprah and her production company, and it's just not appropriate to walk up to Oprah and say, oh, hi there, my name's Joshua, and I'd like you to look at some pictures. So I said to myself, okay, God, I want to show her these pictures. I want her to see these. These feel important, and if you want her to see them, I'm really sorry about this, God, but Oprah's just going to have to introduce herself to me.
Isn't that unbelievable? Isn't that unbelievable? Now, and I have to say to everybody who's listening, I mean, we're on a set and there's 100 people. There's 100 people on this set. Lighting and the tech guys and people are running around. There are 100 people on the set. The chances of me just to walk up to Josh, put my arm around his neck and introduce myself. I mean, I have never done that. I don't know what made me do that.
So when I don't either, but I'm so glad you did.
So, Michael, Joshua says to me, I had just gone in and had a little prayer. 5 minutes before I came out of the bathroom, you'd had a little prayer. You had that little talk with God saying, God, listen, Oprah's here. I can't introduce myself to her. She's going to have to do it. If you want her to see these pictures, she's going to have to do it. So isn't that, Michael, just a phenomenal law of attraction story?
Well, here's what happened. When he was taking the pictures, he set the energy in motion when he said that, right? He gave it attention, energy, and focus, set the energy in motion. And the speed at which law of attraction will manifest what Joshua wanted, in other words, how fast he got what he said he wanted, all determined in how much doubt he had in receiving it. And he didn't have any. You could hear it in his words. You could hear it in his conviction. He really allowed that. That's why it unfolded and orchestrated. And the other thing that was important, he didn't try to figure out how it was going to happen. So this is where the block is. People spend too much time trying to figure out where it's going to come from. When law of attraction says, mind your own business. I will look after unfolding and orchestrating whatever needs to happen to match this vibration. Your job is to desire it, set the energy in motion, and I will do the rest. If it had a voice, it would say that.
Joshua, when I got home last night, flew from that set and got back to Chicago, as I was saying earlier in the show, I was writing in my grateful journal, and you were a part of my grateful journal entry last night.
Oh, wow.
I called it
my
Joshua encounter, because see, I wasn't calling that in. I really wasn't. I didn't know you. I didn't know I needed to look at some pictures of Cambodian children. But it's so interesting because I'd been just thinking, I mean, a very low vibrational frequency, I would think. I'd been thinking that I want to go to India. I want to go to Vietnam. And I want to think about building some schools there or working with children over there. And then you come up and show me the most phenomenal pictures.
Well, and the amazing thing was we were talking about it, and I had said to you that I want to help these children in Cambodia with health care and education, and that this was a really important thing to me as well.
I know. I just thought that was... See, I would have called that
a convergence.
Wasn't it? It was just amazing. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. Well, Josh, I know we will meet again. I have your numbers. When I go to Cambodia, I'm sure I'll see you there, or we'll be traveling together, or... It's going to work out in some really huge way because I can't even stop thinking about that now. Michael, I said, man, you have some strong energy. Cause you attracted me all the way across the room to come over and go, hi, my name is Oprah.
Well, you were both in vibrational harmony.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I may say, Michael, what you said earlier was absolutely right. It's the letting go of control.
Mm-hmm.
It was the letting go of control. It wasn't up to me. It was just up to God.
That's right. And when you get out of the way, you get rid of that negative vibration that tried to figure out how it was going to happen.
It's because I will tell you, if it had happened any other way, if you had come up to me on the set and said, here, I want you to look at these pictures, that would have been such a turnoff. I would have been like, well, who is this guy? And doesn't he know I'm working? You know what I'm saying? So you handled it beautifully. So congratulations to you.
God handled it for us both.
Yeah, God handled it for us both. Thank you so much, Joshua. I know you got to get back to work. Thanks
God
a lot.
God bless you. Thank you, Oprah,
okay,
so much.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us here on XM 156. But, Michael, isn't that incredible?
Well, I love that story, and it has all the elements of law of attraction in it. It kind of summed up everything we talked about. He
yes.
set the energy in motion.
Yes.
He gave it attention, energy, and focus. He didn't try to figure out how it was going to happen, and he just let it go by saying, okay, whatever needs to happen, and then it matched your vibration. You see how you were both in such vibrational harmony that you kind of changed your whole route and met up with them, and
yes,
boom.
Yes, I crossed the room. I crossed mm-hmm. the room. I don't know why I did that. I just thought, okay, I'm going to walk over here now. So it must have been a frequency that I was feeling on some other level, but it really was eye-opening for me in a way, because all of this stuff is so exciting. Living your life this way, understanding that your thoughts create your own reality is so exciting because you're never bored. You're never bored.
Yes.
It just made me see that even in so-called chance encounters with people who, you know, you weren't expecting to meet or didn't know why you had that encounter, that there's meaning in all of it. So that was very helpful to me. Little eye-opening, grateful moment for me. It's mm-hmm. been a delight talking to you the past 2 weeks. I would just encourage that if you're interested in learning more about how you can make things happen in your life in a really strong, powerful, and positive way, and you can witness it for yourself, Michael Lozier's book, Law of Attraction, The Science of Attracting More of What You Want and Less of What You Don't Want, will be really helpful in that. Thank you for joining us. I'll see you next week, Michael. It's over. See you next week when we talk about how the Law of Attraction can get you healthier.
Okay, awesome.
Awesome fun. Thank you. Thanks, Joshua, wherever you are out there on the set. Thank you.
Since we've been addressing the Law of Attraction on this Soul Series on XM 156, our phones have been ringing off the hook.
Oprah is talking to you on the next Talk to Me.
What am I doing wrong? Because I've been in two long-term relationships, and they both ended wrong.
Looking for love in all the wrong places?
It's the number one thing I hear from women all the time. There are no yes. good guys. I can't attract a good man. Why hasn't he come yet?
Does this pattern sound familiar to you?
Maybe I'm not getting something. Maybe I'm doing something wrong.
Michael Lozier returns with practical tips to attract the love of your life.
That was excellent, Michael. Excellent.
Well, thank you.
If you would like to be a future caller, please call 866-OPRAH-XM or visit oprah.com. Up next on Oprah and Friends, Oprah Weekly Highlights.